News about drought only seems to get scarier, and we're seeing that reflected in a bunch of new movies and books pairing droughts with dystopias. Unsurprisingly, says NPR's Netta Ulaby, many of these seem to be aimed towards young adults.
A futuristic Western opening this weekend takes place in a sun-bleached, dried-out desert that used to be worked by farmers.
I never saw this land when it was green. My father did. He worked it before the drought came. He used to talk about it all the time. Even as the fights over water first divided states, then towns, and then neighbors.
The movie, Young Ones, was directed and written by Jake Paltrow, Gwyneth's little brother. Paltrow was inspired in part by the semi-rural, working-class aesthetic of S.E. Hinton's young adult novels, but also from dystopian stories that aren't fictional at all, like how lack of waters intensified conflict in Somalia, Israel, Palestine, and America's own Dust Bowl history.
You know, in our film, they're washing dishes with sand. They're getting into shootouts over, you know, wells that have almost no water left in them.
No.
We might be running low on water, but not stories about a frightening future without it, especially with young adult titles like The Water Wars and Drought. In a drought dystopia called Not a Drop to Drink, a teenage girl and her mother live in a crumbling farmhouse with a pond after climate change has ruined the world's water supply. Stephanie Myers, who wrote the Twilight series, optioned it for her Hollywood production company. Not a Drop to Drink was inspired by a documentary about a terrifying future of spreading deserts, depleted wells, corporatization of water, and death through dehydration.
The tongue swells so large that it squeezes past the jaws. The eyelids crack, and the eyeballs begin to weep tears of blood.
The documentary, Blue Gold, made author Mindy McGinnis grateful to live in a rural farmhouse with a pond.
The night after I watched the documentary, I actually dreamt that I was having to defend my pond violently in order to survive.
In a reading from the book, the heroine has to fend off strangers trying to steal her water and the threat of cholera.
With dead bodies dropping all around the countryside and the water tables rising from spring rains, Mother had decided the pond water could kill them as easily as save them.
They purify it with a real process using the sun as disinfectant.
Sheets of tin roofing from the old red barn were laid out in the yard, the ends weighed with rocks to prevent them from blowing away. They could only purify on clear days when a full 8 hours of UV rays would kill any bacteria in the water.
Author Mindy McGinnis jokes that her research was, sorry, pretty dry. But she did plenty, as did any Iteranta. She wrote another drought-themed dystopian novel called The Memory of Water that came out last spring.
I tried to think of what places in the world would still have fresh water available if there was a serious shortage of it.
Her answer? Finland, where she's from. Iteranta researched all kinds of questions while writing her book.
Where would food come from if there was very little water available? What kind of crops would we be able to grow? What kind of animals would survive? There are actually no animals in the book.
Iteranta says she hopes the popularity of dystopian young adult fiction could be a way to interest readers more in environmental issues. Heather Hauser, a University of Texas professor who studies literature and the environment, says these stories tend to share DNA with American frontier literature.
There is so much focus on the home and the homestead. It makes it a question of survival, protecting private property,
and not displacing our anxieties onto metaphors. Hauser says we like to do that with zombies or vampires. With droughts and climate change, we seem okay with being literal.
Thinking about the monstrous as being meteorological or climatological, maybe that makes a lot of sense.
And maybe with droughts, Hauser says, we understand that our real worst enemies are ourselves. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.